what the Science and Technology Directorate does is it funds and, of course, manages investments in science and technology research to provide new capabilities to the operating components of DHS, among those being, of course, the Customs and Border Patrol, Border Protection, and first responders nationwide. So as you noted, we are looking at a number of things. For instance, the SQUID is a device that sort of looks like a manhole cover that gets tossed under the path of an automobile. And when the automobile crosses over, it sends out a bunch of what look like tentacles that are made out of Kevlar that tangle up with all the moving parts of the car and bring it to a halt. This is, if it works out, will be in place of spike strips or shooting out tires or that sort of thing to prevent cars going forward, a much safer sort of exercise. The Dazzler, which is the official name for the what our British friends would call a portable puke ray, is a thing that looks like an oversized flashlight that flashes laser light at a frequency and that tends to disorient people and make some of them nauseous. And the idea being that if they're looking at that, they're forced to turn away from it, and then the person can walk up and put handcuffs on them. It's a non-lethal weapon and a way to deal with a situation that doesn't require drawing a gun. So those are a couple of examples of things that our research has produced.
And so you're essentially mining ideas from the comic book industry?
So neither one of these ideas actually came from our engagement with the science fiction authors, which is somewhat different from the comic book thing.
True.
I way back in the 60s, when I was a very young man, I read a book by Arthur C. Clarke in which he posited that only readers or writers of science fiction were really competent to discuss the possibilities of the future, which, as a science fiction reader myself, of course, I thought was an interesting comment. And so I always remember that. And then in 1985, Footfall, a book by Larry Niven and Jerry Pournelle, actually had the president putting together an intelligence cell of science fiction authors when the world was faced by an alien invasion. And that resonated with me as well. So when I was at O&R at the end of my Navy career and then at DHS Science and Technology, it seemed to me that if we were going to mobilize all of our scientific resources to, you know, fight the war on terror, then we needed to include the science fiction authors as arrows in our quiver. And I started looking around to see if I could implement that, and I discovered that a fellow named Arlen Andrews had formed an outfit called Sigma back in the 90s. As a science fiction author, he said that he'd heard more original and appropriate futurism on panels at any given science fiction convention than in all the time he'd spent while he was in Washington as a White House fellow. Back in the 90s, the scientific community was poo-pooing things like virtual worlds and nanotechnology, which were a common discourse among science fiction. So what we decided to do is bring these guys in and to our conferences and let them meet us and learn what we were doing and see if they would come up with any, you know, ideas that might be of interest to us for future technology. Mostly, though, just the ideas to have them around would help us perhaps think outside the box a little bit. And, you know, and as you, I'm sure, will be surprised to hear, government tends to be a little bureaucratic.
No.
And so it's a look from folks like this whose reason for existence is to sort of cut across the stovepipes and think about how technology affects society and how technology affects people will be a good thing to throw into the mix. We don't yet have any specific gadget or capability that we've developed based on an idea that we've gotten from any of these authors, but they certainly have been a breath of fresh air. And as I said, the idea is to have them around to perhaps just sort of help people realize it is okay to really get outside of the box.
We're talking with Captain Chris Christopher. He's retired from the Navy. He's now Director of Conferences in the Corporate Communications Division of the Science and Technology Directorate at DHS. And so tell us, what are some of the other technologies that you're working on that might be close to fruition here?
Tell us all your secrets so that we can spill the beans.
Well, actually, we're trying to be very open and transparent about the sort of technology we're working on. And there's a long list, and picking one or two of them off will be somewhat difficult. But I certainly can point folks at the DHS website, which will be www.dhs.gov. And if you click on the research tab, look down the page, is a link to the Science and Technology Directorate. And we have a broad range of technologies described there that we're working on. Again, if you think about the operating components of DHS, FEMA and Customs and Border Protection and TSA and all those folks, any technology that would make our capability that would make it easier for them to perform their missions will likely to be working on that. I know everyone is enjoys going to the airport and dumping their pockets and taking off their shoes and having their bags go through the belt and so forth. We are certainly looking at a variety of technologies that would reduce the need for that sort of thing or even make it possible someday in the bright future to be able to just walk into the airport and walk onto the airplane without having to do all those things, because we are developing different technologies and sensors to look at people and determine whether perhaps we can tell if they have malintent, is the term being used. That is, if they have something bad on their mind. But if we can tell people or someone walking into an airplane does not have anything bad in mind and isn't carrying anything dangerous on them, then there's no reason to bother them as they go get on their airplane.
And so, Captain Christopher, these are forward-thinking technologies meant to deter people from crossing the border. You say none of them are really in operation just yet. When do you expect or when do you think you might have something that you could utilize to actually help you with this mission?
Well, all of them are in various phases of development, and I don't have those specific dates, with me this morning. I'm certainly be happy to discuss any particular one of them that you have in mind. Anything from detecting tunnels under the border to do a better job of inspecting cargo coming in from overseas, all of those things that you would think of in terms of how do we protect the nation from things coming in from outside are under investigation now with the various divisions of S&T.
And real fast question, if someone has a clever idea that they think could really work, is there grant money to help them develop it?
There's a variety of funding for projects, especially for small businesses with good ideas. Again, the DHS website, www.dhs.gov. Click on the research tab, and part of what we will do is give you a how to come do business with us, and we are actively looking for and soliciting good ideas on all of these sort of technology and mission requirements from businesses large and small, and that's why we do what I do, which is our S&T Stakeholders Conference just 3 times a year, to have a place for people to come to and talk to our program managers and talk to our division directors and learn exactly what we're doing and what we're looking for and how to do business with us. And we're involved in that outreach process on a continuing basis. And if you've got good ideas, bring them to us. We are interested.